Good morning. Today we are going to look at Matthew's Gospel as we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. Is this too loud? Or is it okay? It's good? Great. I'm going to start reading from verse 18, and it's actually on your sheet as well. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child, will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him. He took Mary home as his wife, but he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Amen. May God write his word on our hearts. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you inspired men to write down what happened 2,000 years ago. Father, I pray that the truth of this story will stir our hearts afresh and that you will draw us nearer to yourself through this message. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you enjoy hearing this story? Yes, it doesn't get old. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. And here we see right at the outset, this is how Jesus' birth came about. His mother was Mary, and how did she become pregnant? By the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine if one of the young women in our church became pregnant, and when we talked to her, she said something like, well, you're going to find this hard to believe, but I didn't really sleep with anybody, honest. The Holy Spirit made me pregnant. What would we think? We'd think like, wow, we've never heard that one before. Well, we had. It's in the Bible. Yeah, it sounds preposterous. How many virgins in history have had babies? One. Yeah, exactly. Mary. It's a miracle. And that's just the first point. The birth of Jesus, Jesus coming to earth, is a miracle. And I also want to say, God instructs us to be chaste. We live in a world where being a virgin is kind of looked down upon or scoffed at, or like there's something wrong with you if you know you're a virgin. I remember a friend of mine in high school, his dad told him, said, like, you know, if you're 16 or 17 years old as a guy and like you haven't slept with a woman yet, something's wrong with you. And that's what a lot of people grow up with. And so in contrast to that, God esteems chastity. And so, like a woman being a virgin or a man being a virgin is something that's honored by God. It's like you didn't just give yourself to somebody who didn't really love you, wasn't really willing to make a lifelong commitment to you. You kept yourself set apart to God. And that's a good thing. And so I want to encourage us that that's a good thing, because every movie you watch, every television show you watch tells you the exact opposite. I mean, just so many little things in like all the shows, all the heroes, they're usually immoral. And so what that teaches you is like, oh, that's a good thing and it's okay to be that way. And we have to say, well, no, actually, that's part of the fall. Amen? Now, Joseph, it's going to be neat to meet Joseph in heaven because he seems like a really wonderful guy. So when he found out that Mary was pregnant, he, I'm sure, was heartbroken. And it says that he just wanted to quietly divorce her and not totally shame her. So engagement back in that culture was much stronger than engagement in our culture. And so it was like you were definitely going to get married, and it was just a matter of time. And it was really a divorce in that every sense of that word to break off the engagement. So when Joseph decided to do that, another miracle happens. An angel appears to him in a dream and tells him, don't divorce her. That child really was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And so Joseph believed the angel in the dream, kept her a virgin until Jesus was born. And it's just wonderful to see Joseph's heart and God's intervention. Now, I want us to think a little bit. Imagine if you were Mary. Even though now Joseph believes that what's inside of you was conceived by the Holy Spirit, do you think everybody else in town does? No. So she had to bear public shame in order to bear Jesus. And that's the second point. Think about Joseph. Joseph embraced Mary, believed her, but he also had to endure this shame that, like, oh, well, you guys did something that was sinful. Now, in our day and age, people sleeping together before they're married is like no big deal. It's like it encouraged in kids in high school. When Tarindu Veerasinghe lived with us, he was telling us, like, Brookline High, they're encouraging you, just have safe sex, it's okay. And it's like you're being instructed to do what's contrary to God. And so back then, it was really shameful. People were trying to live God's way. And so I just wanted us to feel that this morning. In following God, doing it just his way, there's often a price to pay. But it's a price worth paying. And I love, and this is the next point, that God understands what we're going through. When God saw Joseph's intention, what did he do? He sent an angel. That's wonderful. And I just feel like God wants to encourage you today. He understands what you go through. He wants to strengthen you. He wants to help you get through that. Can we say amen to that? All right. Now let's look at the next part of the passage. All of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. This wasn't a surprise. God said this was going to happen. Isaiah 7, verse 14, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. That's amazing. In John 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, meaning Jesus. The Word was with God, and the Word, what? Was God. And then later in the passage, it says, the Word became flesh, or the Word became human. I read an article where a woman wrote, God had skin. God came down. That's what we believe. We're not just believing this was like a special child. This was God the Son taking on human form. Philippians 2 said that Jesus, even though he was in very nature God, did not regard equality with God something to hang on to, but he emptied himself. I find that very encouraging. Did anyone in the past few weeks have to do something that they felt was a bit humbling? You didn't feel like doing it. All right. You will never humble yourself as much as Jesus humbled himself, just to be born. And that doesn't take into account his humility while he lived, his humility in going to the cross. So as believers, we should always encourage ourselves, nothing's beneath me. If God could become a baby born in a stable, there's nothing that's beneath me. Amen? So let's keep that attitude. Now there's another miracle. In chapter 2 of Matthew, that's where we talk about the Magi, the wise men, came from the east. Why did they come? because they saw a star. These guys were astronomers. They studied the stars, and they saw a star. Or maybe it was a comet. You know, comets move in an orbit, and maybe that orbit guided them to Bethlehem. Now, there's a couple of things that are really amazing about this. One is, again, Jesus being born in Bethlehem wasn't an accident. This fulfilled a prophecy that God gave the prophet Micah. Does anyone know how many years before Jesus' birth Micah prophesied? 700. 700 years. We can't. What happened 700 years ago? The Magna Carta, 1300. For the Jews to wait 700 years and to like hang on to the prophecy is amazing. I mean, what do we hang on to from 700 years ago? Almost nothing, right? I mean, the Magna Carta actually would be like something huge that we have hung on to because it's the foundation of modern law. But I mean, it's really, the Jewish people are remarkable people for believing that when century after century it hadn't happened yet. So they were convinced and the authority and truth of God's word. So we do well to emulate their example. Amen? I was reading about, the wise men, and we don't really have a lot of facts about them, but there were wise men from what's used to be Babylon on the Tigris-Euphrates rivers, and they have records that they did study astronomy, and they were also into like astrology and other things. But in that area, they actually believed that most of those people believed in one God. And they also thought that the whole idea of looking for a king, because the wise men came to Jerusalem, they said, you know, we've seen the star of the one who's born king of the Jews. Where is he? And like Herod, King Herod was like, what? And like he was upset and disturbed. The whole city became disturbed. He called for the Jewish leaders and said, you know, where's the Messiah going to be born? They said, oh, in Bethlehem. So all this comes together. And in the one commentary I read, it talked about how Daniel, of course, was raised to great prominence in Babylon 600 years earlier. And Daniel would have been looking for the Messiah. And so it's possible, we don't know this, it's speculation, that things that Daniel might have taught the wise men in Babylon 600 years earlier filtered down through so that these guys are saying, yeah, we're looking for the king of the Jews to be born. Hallelujah. I Googled how far it is from Babylon to Jerusalem, and it said it was 1,094 miles. Well, this is Baghdad. Babylon doesn't exist anymore. Baghdad to Jerusalem is 1,094 miles. How many of you, even if I saw a star and thought, wow, there's a king 1,000 miles away, would I really ride a camel 20 miles a day? I figured I'd take at least 50 days if you never stopped. If you stopped and rested, I mean, you're looking at 2 months of traveling to go honor and worship a king. Would anybody do that in this room? Probably not. They were inspired by God, right? I mean, this whole thing is miraculous. Three wise men traveled probably 1,000 miles to come and see the baby. Lots of babies have been born. I guess, you know, when it's your own grandchildren, you travel 1,000 miles, but that's kind of about it. I love how God brought all this to pass. So Herod, continuing the story, Herod said, well, hey, go find the child and then come back and tell me so that I can do what? Worship him too. Is that Herod's intention? No, not at all. Do any of you know much about King Herod? Okay, a few of you do. King Herod was not a nice man. He was ruthless. He was insecure. He was jealous. He had, I think, about four different wives. He murdered his second wife and then murdered two of his sons that he thought might be threatening him. So that's the kind of guy he was. And so again, another miracle happens. The wise men come. They come. They find Jesus. They're still following the star. They're overjoyed. and they bring gifts to him, and they fall down and worship the baby. Wow. That's amazing, too. Now, Olivia Carter was born, what, 3 or 4 months ago? 3 months ago. When baby Olivia came in, we were thrilled. We oohed and awed over her. We saw how beautiful she was. We commended her mother. But the one thing we didn't do was get on our knees and worship her. So I just want us to get this. These men worshiped Jesus when he was a child because they had a revelation that he was the king of the Jews, the Messiah. That's amazing. And your next point is Jesus is still worthy of worship. Hallelujah. That's why we take time every Sunday to praise God, because he's worthy. And we want to give him the glory that he is due. So Herod was lying. He didn't want to know where the baby was born to worship him. He wanted to kill the baby. So two more miracles happen. God speaks to the wise men in a dream and says, don't go back to Herod. Go home another way. Then Joseph, an angel, appears to him again and says, you're in trouble. Take the baby and the mother and flee. And he said, immediately he obeyed him, got up, and they fled to Egypt. When Herod finds out, he's really angry. And what happened next? He slaughters all the infants, 2 years old, baby boys, 2 years old and under in Bethlehem. Because they were ascertained, he ascertained from the wise men, how long ago was it when you saw the star? So we don't know exactly how long that was, but he killed them 2 and under not to take any chances. It's tragic. It's awful. So this is everything that's going on surrounding Jesus, the Son of God, coming into the world. Now let's get back to the angel's visit to Joseph. Why is Jesus being sent into this world? To save his people from their sins. That's what the angel said. You'll call his name Jesus. Jesus is the Greek form of Joshua. Joshua means the Lord saves. Now, last week, we studied what does the word save mean in the New Testament? Somebody help me out. Sozo, and what's it mean? To make whole. Very good. You get an A. So the word save means to make whole, spiritually, emotionally, physically. Let's think for a minute. What are the consequences of human sin? Help me out. What's the first one? Death. Very good. Death entered into the world. And the first death was it broke our relationship with God. Your sins have made a separation between you and your God. Physical death. Spiritual death. What else happened because of sin? Suffering, pain, injustice. Do we experience personal hurt because of our own sin? Yes, we do. I read a quote from a Philip Yancey story, and he was talking to a friend of his who worked with people in the streets of Chicago. And one day, this woman who was a prostitute came, and she was sick, and she had a 2-year-old daughter. She didn't have any money. She couldn't feed her baby. And so he tried to help her. And then at one point, he said, well, have you thought of going to a church to see if they could help you? And listen to her response. She said, a church? Why would I go there? I was already feeling terrible about myself. They'd just make me feel worse. Now, there's two things there. One is that shows how a lot of people look at the church today. So that's why we're Abundant Grace, right? It's like, it doesn't matter if people are messed up or hurting. We want to help them, amen? We want to do what Jesus did, come and minister to them. But what I want to focus on is this woman felt terrible about herself. People in America are great at putting forth a good image, right? We look good. We don't let on. You know, oh, I'm fine. Yeah, I was good. Everything's superficial. But a lot of people feel terrible about themselves. And so Jesus wants to heal them. Ingrid sees it at her school. There's all these kids that they want to achieve a certain grade. And if they don't get A's, they're a mess. And they're uptight. They're begging, you know, they come to Ingrid and beg, you know, to change the grade. They're studying. And that's not a healthy state. Because if they don't get that grade, they feel terrible about themselves. How many of you have done something in the past couple weeks that you feel badly about and it depressed you about yourself? Yeah, it happens all the time. So Jesus came to save us from that. Jeanine, that's why I really appreciate you sharing your story with us. That, hey, I believed in Jesus, but that was just the starting point because there was so much in me that God needed to heal from dysfunction, from, you know, the mental illness and alcoholism in my family. That's where people live. And so we have good news. So that effect of sin separating you from God, Jesus came to reconcile you to God. Hallelujah. But all that effect, that darkness inside of you, that pain that you experience from your own wrongdoing, that pain you experience from other people inflicting hurt and pain on you, Jesus wants to heal that. And that's what we see in Scripture. That's why I love the story we studied just a couple weeks ago. The prostitute in Luke's gospel, when she came to Jesus, and she knows she was, Jesus was in a home where people would judge her, reject her, despise her, yell at her and chase her away, but she came in anyways, and what did Jesus do? He welcomed her. He accepted her. She was weeping over his feet, drying his feet with her. He accepted it. And just have to remind us again, we can't hear this too often, the worst sinners can end up loving Jesus more than anybody else. And we have to believe that. We have to have that in our hearts in how we relate to people around us. That's our Lord. Jesus came to remove our guilt and shame. So on your outline, number 7, the word save, you got that means to make whole, spiritually, emotionally, physically. Next point, sin separates us from God, plus it hurts us personally. So the point after that I want to make is even as Jesus was born in Mary, Jesus can be born in you. And as Jeanine read to us, it's by God's Spirit. We have a physical birth, but we need a spiritual birth. And when God's Spirit comes into your person, into your physical being, into your heart, mind, and emotion, there's power there. There's a new power inside of you that wasn't there before. Praise God. All right, did you get number 10? Lots of people, what? Feel terrible about themselves. I have a couple quotes from the Alpha Course that we run. Russell Brand is a British actor and comedian. He once said this, "Drugs and alcohol are not my problem. Reality is my problem. Drugs and alcohol are my solution." There are millions of Americans living that way. Here's another one. The British lead singer, Freddie Mercury, with a rock group Queen. That's kind of for us older people. Queen was popular in the 70s and 80s. He said this, "You can have everything in the world and still be the loneliest man." And that is the most bitter type of loneliness. "Success has brought me world idolization, millions of pounds," it's British money, "millions of dollars, but it's prevented me from having the one thing we all need, a loving, ongoing relationship." Very profound. He's articulating something that's absolutely true. And the tragedy is he didn't get it. We all need loving, ongoing relationship. That's why Jesus came. He establishes us in an ongoing, loving relationship with our Heavenly Father. He makes us brothers and sisters. We have a loving, ongoing relationship with each other. Janine shared with us how being in a church family changed her life. And so all the dysfunction and all the things that you accepted as being right, and then you realize, oh, that's not, you know, husbands and wives are really supposed to love each other and like each other and not yell at each other all the time, and brothers and sisters can actually get along. Do you believe that? Okay. I got some brothers staring at me right now. Do you guys believe that? All right. You can get along with your sisters. Okay. I mean, it may take a miracle, but Jesus can do it. All right. That's what God's about. That's the good news. That's why we celebrate. My son David used to talk about how when he worked for State Street Corporation, you know, the guys just like living for the weekend. It's like you work real hard, then you go out and you go to the bars and you get drunk, and then Saturday you play video games all day, and then Sunday, whatever, you sleep off, and Monday you start over again. That's where a lot of people live. And we fill our lives with movies and television and video games and partying and drinking, but these don't heal us or make us whole. They only distract us so we temporarily forget about what's wrong with us. And what's wrong with us is what Jesus came to fix and cure and heal. It's a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. So money, pleasure, filling our lives with lots of stuff is not what? It's not the solution. It's not the answer. And the last point is God's heart is to not count your sins against you and to heal you. I want you to believe that for yourself. I want you to believe that for the kids you go to school with. I want you to believe that for the people around you where you live. Let's keep praying for them. Jesus gave his life to save people. So what does that mean for us? Do you think we have to put some effort into seeing people saved? Look what Jesus did. He left heaven and came to earth. Joe, thank you for sharing with us. You know, saying like, yeah, we talked to two guys at work. We kind of told them about Jesus coming as the Savior of the world. And they said, we'd never heard that before. That's the world we live in. You have the truth that can change someone's life. There's a power in you that can impact people around you. So pray for them. Listen to them. Eat with them. Serve them. Share your story with them. God will do the rest. Amen? All right, if we can get the worship band back up here to close us out. Look at this scripture with me. Let's read 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 19 together, and then we'll pray. It's at the bottom of your outline. All right, good work. It's up there. Way to go, Stephen. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that there's reconciliation with you through Jesus Christ. We thank you there's reconciliation with other people through Jesus Christ, that just as you don't hold our sins against us, we cannot hold people's sins against them and be reconciled to them or love them or not hold them at a distance. Father, I pray that you just inspire our hearts afresh today. What a miracle that your Son came. What a privilege we have to know him. How great it is that you want to heal our feeling terrible. You want to remove our shame. You want to take away our despair. And you want to put within us forgiveness, acceptance, peace, hope. Father, let us receive that. Let us take heart. Let us share that with people around us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.